Call the March 3rd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayor will be here shortly. Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderman Nelson?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance and then remain standing, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in a moment of silence for the victim, the five victims of the Molson Coors shooting. Thank you very much. Item B is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please come forward, give us your name and address, and let us know what you think. Mr. Magna.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Common Council, I'm Tony Magna, 10321 West Church Street. I come here today to say I'm chairman of the Park Commission, and my term ends next month, and I request the mayor not to reappoint me because after 52 years being on the Park Commission, I think it's time for a younger person to take over. I've been on many other committees. I've been on the Planning and Zoning Board. I've been on Board of Electrical Examiners. I'm on the 4th of July Commission, which is now the Franklin Civic Celebration. So I've been pretty busy with all this city work. So after 50-some, actually since 1961, I was on the 4th of July Commission. I will remain on the Franklin Civic Celebration Commission as a non-voting member, and I'm the one that, when you see the fireworks on the 4th of July, I'm the one that orders the fireworks so that people of Franklin can enjoy them. So I want to say thank you to the city of Franklin for all the years that I've been on the committee.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony, and the fireworks are the best ever all around. Alderman Wilhelm. Could you just let me do my job? I would have taken care of it. Thank you. Mr. Gamble.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Larry Gamble, 3121 West Southwood Drive. In the interest of transparency, I am running for alderman in the 4th District. I'm also a school board member, but tonight I come here as a resident citizen of the city of Franklin. We have a banner on the wall that says this goal of this city is 70% residential, 30% commercial. In the packet before you, there's a study by Rupert Milkey, whether or not to change impact fees on the public school amounts to a policy decision. The city of Franklin can impose impact fees on the school districts or abstain from doing so, depending on what it deems best. While Wisconsin Statute 66.0617 doesn't automatically exempt schools from impact fees, it doesn't prohibit that exemption either. Currently, proposing eliminating this institutional category under which schools fall so it doesn't anticipate that revenue from the public school projects, so no one would pay more impact fees if the public schools are exempted. If the Franklin School District is required to pay impact fees, all property owners would pay more since the cost of those fees would be passed on to them through higher property taxes. The cost of those fees would thereby be spread throughout the whole community rather than being borne by the specific parties that pay the impact fees. That waters down the intended application of these fees to the developers who bring about the growth at 70%. Franklin could exempt all three public school districts within its city on the grounds that growth in schools depends on growth in other classes, especially residential. In other words, new development in other classes causes school districts to grow. So this new development should bear the cost of that growth, since growth in schools simply would not happen without growth in these classes. It's time for the city to end this double taxation of its residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. Anyone else? Madam Superintendent, I know that's not your real title.
Good evening. Judy Miller. I'm the district administrator from Franklin Public Schools, 8255 West Forest Hill. So I'd like to begin by thanking the council for delaying the payment of the impact fees on Forest Park Middle School until the public facilities need assessment and impact fee study was completed. The school district operates for the sole purpose of providing a high-quality education to the children of Franklin. I'm proud to share that our district ranks as one of the top K-12 school districts in the state of Wisconsin. I believe we have achieved this success because of our dedicated staff and the support of our families and community. The community as a whole supports our schools. The new Forest Park Middle School is an example of this. I've had the opportunity to review the request for the council action document this evening, as well as the letter submitted to the council from Edward Maxwell of Rukert and Milkey, which recommends eliminating the institutional category under which schools fall. Mr. Maxwell's rationale is consistent with that of the school district in that if the district is required to pay impact fees, all property owners would pay more since these costs would be passed on to them via higher school taxes. Rather, the cost should be borne by the specific parties that benefit, who cause or bring about the growth. According to Wisconsin state law, impact fees are intended for entities that cause growth in services and infrastructure. As pointed out by Rukert and Melke, the school district does not cause growth. It is merely expected to respond to growth. Our mission as a school district is to inspire personal success through learning experiences that focus on student needs and active partnerships with family and the community. As leaders in this community, I'm encouraging you to act upon the recommendation from the Public Facilities Need Assessment and Impact Fees Study and exempt the institutional class of development, which includes public schools, retroactive to January 1st, 2017, and set the impact fee amount for the class at zero. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. Anyone else? Mr. Paulus.
Good evening. Mike Paulus, 4551 West Thorncrest Drive. I'm here this evening on behalf of GRAFE. I have a few items on the agenda, G7, G12. Here to answer any questions you may have. Hopefully everybody received the packet qualifications for the DPW work. If not, I can certainly hand out more copies. But again, I'm here tonight along with Wayne Tillman, who's the project architect for the project. And I was going to have Mike Moore here for more construction as well, but his daughter is giving birth to their first granddaughter tonight. So,
and he's not, he chose that.
I know. I'll give him a bye. So we're here tonight. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing no one else rise, I'll close the citizens' comment period. We move on to the approval of the regular meeting minutes of the Common Council meeting of February 17th. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. There are no public hearings. There are no organizational business, no letters and petitions. So we move on to item G, reports and recommendations, consent agenda. Any action, any requests for separate action? There is a new contract at your station for item 1B, which changes Texas to Franklin, Wisconsin. So
moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G2 is a presentation of draft public facilities needs assessment. Mr. Ratzenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I don't think it's on.
Now it should be.
Yeah, now.
There you go.
So included in the packet this evening is a public facilities needs assessment and impact fee study. As you well know, we've been this study has been under consideration for a couple of years now. The study is reflective of four of the six fees that the city applies. The water and sewer fee study material is not yet available and will follow in a couple of months. I don't need to go through the study in detail because it was included in your packet, and hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at that. The result of the study has a number of items that we're looking for feedback from the council on to start out with. The parks, library, law enforcement, fire protection, and transportation facility fees are recommended to decline or fall by $2,576 or 40% from their current levels. And the water and sewer fee, as I mentioned earlier, is yet to be determined. On the commercial side, the fee is recommended to drop by $3,750 for a building using 30,000 square feet as the estimated construction, because it is dependent upon the size of the facility. And for the industrial class of properties, the fee is expected to rise or recommended to rise by 50% on a 75,000 square foot facility from $13,125 to $20,025. There are other couple of issues that are before you on this study for your consideration. One, as mentioned during the public comment period, is to exempt public schools from consideration of the impact fee. And the council passed a resolution several years ago asking that that be done as of January 1st of 2013. Staff is recommending that that date be modified to January 1st of 2017, principally because the Franklin School District had several improvements in 2013 at the high school and paid fees associated with that, and the Forest Park Middle School permit was pulled in 2017. So if you make the effective date January 1st of 2017, the pending fee of a little over $90,000 would then be waived by the city. And the draft ordinance that the staff is working on would exempt not only Franklin Public Schools, but Oak Creek Public Schools and Whitnall Public Schools. The impact of that is, should Oak Creek build a school in the city of Franklin, essentially and we're subject to impact fees, essentially the residents of Oak Creek would pay that impact fee, because the city of Franklin only accounts for about 15% of their tax base, and 85% of that tax base is in Oak Creek, so those residents would then pay it. Likewise, if Whitnall Schools built a school in the city of Franklin and the existing ordinance were in effect, only 12% of that fee would be paid by Franklin residents, and the balance would be paid by Whitnall School District. The Franklin Public Schools, being wholly owned or resident within the city of Franklin, would then be spread across those city residents who are in that district, but not to residents who are outside that district. The other issues before you relative that staff is looking for input from the council related to the needs assessment is related to the escalator. Currently, the impact fees are escalated on January 1st by an automatic 5% every year. And the study is recommending or offering as a possibility the U.S. Census Bureau's construction price index for single-family homes. And had we used that index since 2002, the fees would have only risen about 60%, very much in line with what we're now proposing the fees to be. Another one is to create a policy related to the needs assessment about having the needs assessment republished or reexamined every 5 to 7 years. The last time some of these fees were looked at was in 2002. Another issue that's before you this evening is the school district, which we've already talked about. And we would leave the institutional class in the study, but set the fee at zero for those particular ones, so that if the council later decided or there were classes of property that the institutional class would cover, you could just reset the fee from zero to some higher level. Lastly, the state statutes on impact fees asks that cities consider affordable housing in their impact fees. And so there is some clauses in the later parts of the study before you this evening addressing that particular issue. Obviously, the council may have some other issues that you'd like to address in the impact fee study, and that is up to the council to give direction. Here this evening is Ed Maxwell, the author of this particular study from Rukert Milkey, and he can answer any questions that you might have.
Good evening, Mr. Maxwell. Thanks for putting up with the pushing and the back and forth.
Good evening, Mayor.
Tell us what you got, what you want to tell us.
Well, I think everything was pretty well summarized by Mr. Ratzenberg. I do want to highlight that overall the fees would be lowered because Franklin has addressed many of the projects that it set out to in 2002 and subsequent years. So that's really the good news. And beyond that, I just want to answer any questions you might have on the particulars of the study or any of the action items related.
So let's do questions, and then we'll go through the items on my own. Alderman Nelson.
My first question is, in your professional opinion, is basically eliminating the school portion of this in the best interest of the city?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense to me because, as I wrote in the memo, school growth is really derivative. It only happens if there is other growth, especially in the residential class. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to tax or charge schools for this growth. You should charge the growth that's happening directly that's causing the schools to grow.
Mr. Rosenberg, you agree with that?
As you know, earlier this year there was a public hearing, and I spoke against this particular topic and leaving schools, but I think the argument that Rueckert Mielke is presenting this evening in the communication to the council is convincing, and I would support the recommendation of exempting schools.
Of exempting?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Barber.
With the indexing you're proposing, does that need to go on for 5 or 7 years, or should that be a shorter period just to verify the indexing?
As I stated in the council action sheet relative to the increases, the use of a 5% CPI index has caused our fee here in Franklin to rise faster than it might otherwise have to rise. And there was actually a year when this council asked us to forego that increase. I believe that was 2014. The use of a single family U.S. Census Bureau index would have caused fees to rise slower. They would have, in fact, risen, but would have risen slower than what they had been rising. And that's why it's the index that we're recommending. But the other item that's pointed out is the impact fee study looks at a rate of growth in the city and the cost of projects that need to be incurred. When the rate of growth assumed in the study is different than what your actual growth is, that's when your the fees collected or begin to get out of whack with what you're trying to accomplish with those. By redoing your study every 5 to 7 years, you have an opportunity to re-examine what your growth rate has been and reset it to calculate a new rate. And that's one of the reasons why in this particular proposal we're recommending that the impact fee study be redone every 5 to 7 years.
Not a shorter time frame?
I don't particularly have an opinion on that. Ed is...
If the council recognizes that growth is happening wildly out of forecast, like new subdivisions are going in at a much faster clip, then it would be appropriate to examine hastening doing an impact fee study, then it would be appropriate.
Yeah. Let the record reflect that Alderman Mayer has joined us at 6:48. Alderman Dandridge.
This is to either one, but Paul, the recommendation is to lower library, law, and fire. Now, in the past, we've been behind the eight ball, and we've been, as taxpayers, paying it. So do you agree with that, this step to go to to lower that amount by somewhat of a rather significant number when we've been paying it as taxpayers because we haven't had the growth, the incremental growth in the past so many years?
I'll start. So the prior study had a very, what in retrospect is aggressive forecast, and so it anticipated a lot more growth than what happened, and that's why the collection fees didn't materialize, essentially. And what this study is doing is projecting out for the next 20 years and spreading out the costs in many cases that have already been incurred throughout the next 20 years. Going back to the previous point about if growth rates exceed or lag behind, you could find yourself in a similar situation, especially if growth rates fall below what you expect. If it's higher, then you'll collect faster.
And to piggyback on that, this particular study takes the unpaid or uncollected impact fees from growth that we anticipated before and shoves those fees forward onto future growth. So we will collect those. If the growth occurs as it's assumed in this report, then we will eventually get that and be able to replenish or repay the taxpayers for the portion of the tax that they've paid in the past.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm glad this is here. We've been asking for this for well over a year, year and a half, I think. I guess first I'll address the changes in the fees, and then we can talk about the school district. So I think for years we've been collecting too much money, money that we can't even spend when it comes to parks. It's made us non-competitive with our communities that have little to no impact fees, or at least a lot less than we currently have. I think of the Ballpark Commons development, I think of the Mandel Apartments, and how much money that they are paying in impact fees, which I think they figured into their calculations when they negotiated the change in the TID, the new TID, and how much money the city put back into that development, which if we went to have the higher impact fees, the money that the city would have put out into that TID would have been less. And, you know, anybody could see that coming a mile away. So I think this new formula will make us more competitive in the with other municipalities when it comes to development. You can't go back in time and undo, you know, what's happened in the past, but at least moving forward, I think the having the new, following the Census Bureau's CPI is better than this automatic 5%. I think looking at it, you know, we shouldn't wait 18 years to do this. So I think the 5 to 7, I'd probably lean to the 5, because it, like I said, we never know what's going to happen with the market and that. When it comes to the school district, there's a number of things I'm gonna say. First off, I find it interesting that Cub Scouts can make it here two different times to talk about a road in front of their school, yet the administration doesn't, and here they are when it comes to their pocketbooks. I find that really interesting. It reminds me of the time when I was on the county board where they were AWOL on putting a sidewalk on North Cape Road in front of Country Dale School. So, you know, when it comes to safety, they're pretty silent, but when it comes to dollars and cents, they sure like to show up. Find it humorous, I think, that a school board member and candidate for alderman in my district, by the way, comes out here and talks about passing the buck on to the taxpayers. You know, when healthcare costs go up for the city, or the state cuts transportation aid or shared revenue, we figure out a way to balance our budgets without passing it on to the taxpayers. Yet it's the mentality of the school board, at least this school board member, that's automatically going to go to the taxpayers instead of figuring it out in-house and not passing the buck on to the taxpayers. I find that really telling. Glad that actually came out in tonight, that you don't necessarily have to pass it on. I look at the school board, school district, because I've been doing this for 12 years, and yeah, I think I've kind of come up with the nickname Silent Assassins, because they spend and they spend and they spend, and nobody really goes to their meetings. Whereas here, depending on the issue, we could have a full house. We have people that post on Facebook about what we do. We have people that actually, sometimes, once in a while, we have the press show up. And if you want to call them the press, but once in a while you have someone from the Journal Sentinel, the Now, show up and talk about what takes place. But rarely does the school district get you know, the level of scrutiny that common councils do throughout Milwaukee County. So I just wanted to add just some of these little things to the equation why I won't support removing the school district. And if for some reason we actually, you know, go to the extent of, let's say, in exempting them, we do it currently. We don't retroactively. We don't go back. I'd love to go back and say, well, let's start from scratch. Let's forget this ever happened, and